All right, welcome to our introduction to Greek class. This is our sixth class, and we've already taken our quiz. We've done our reading through John, and now we're going to talk about the rest of the tenses. We have two more. Okay, and now we're going to finally talk about the perfect tense in Greek. All right, so if you take a look at our notes, and we go with the imagery of the camera and a video, the perfect tense uses a camera and not a video, and it's imagine a camera that took a snapshot but continues to show the picture. You remember with the aorist, it was we just took a picture and out came a picture of a point in time, a Polaroid. And this was opposite of the video camera, which was continuous action, whether it was in the past or the present. This is a camera that takes a Polaroid and out comes a picture. Now, with the perfect tense, it takes the picture, you take the picture out, and now it has present results. Everybody's passing it around and looking at it and laughing at it, you know, or whatever the picture may have been, So the thing that's so cool about the perfect is that it happens at a point in time, but, or we could say completed action, that's what makes it quote unquote perfect, but it has present results, okay? The results that are done keep on going on. And at this point, let's turn to Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans 14, verse 23. Okay, now, here he's talking about Christian liberty, and in the English he says, and the word we're looking at is for condemned, and he says, but he who doubts, and here it is, it's in the perfect, is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, we had said that the perfect is a point in time that has present results. So it's both something that happens in the past, but yet it's continuous. So how do you English that? Do you put an ED on the end of it? Or do you put an ING? Well, most of the time, it looks like a past tense or like an aorist. Notice, is condemned. The point I'm trying to make is that it's very, very difficult to get this tense in the English. If you were to literally translate it, you would say, but he who doubts has been condemned and continues to be condemned. So as far as translating goes, you just wouldn't know this unless you know this in the Greek or you look it up. But now that you know it, notice what it adds to the interpretation. So this is saying that in your Christian life, if you're doing something out of doubt and not faith, it's going to bother your conscience and you're going to have self-condemnation both at a point in the past and it's going to continue on. So it's something that has to be reconciled. You either need to come up with the faith or you need to not do it. Because it's not like, well, it bothered me before, but it's not going to bother me now. No, that's not how you get over it. You either decide, this is something I can do or this is something I cannot do, okay? But anyway, getting back to this, here it's translated condemned in the Greek. It's katakrino, which means to judge down. Kata means down. Krino means judge, to judge down. And here, when they put the proper ending on it, it becomes a perfect passive indicative, and it is kata kekritai. Kata kekritai. So, to make kata krino into a perfect, you have to add all these other things to it, which you do learn if you take that Greek class. But let's say that right now, okay, you're not going to take that Greek class, but here's the word, and you want to know what tense it is. At this point, you're going to be able to take a lexicon and alphabetically go through the lexicon and come to the exact word, you'll look at the inscription to the side, and it'll tell you that it's in the perfect tense. That's how you will figure this out. The other way is to learn all of the endings, and then you just know. Okay. But anyway, you see kind of, again, the action start here. Greek is not so much about time as it is kind of action. It happens at a point in time, and its results continue on. That's the perfect tense. Now, I do want to say this. Sometimes it does become quite detailed because it can either be that point in time that the author wants to emphasize, or it can be the continuous action that the author wants to emphasize. So there's a whole lot that goes into this. So, as I say in letter B, emphasis may be on either the completed action or its present results. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Acts 5, 28. And you've got to love this one. Acts 5:28, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet," and here it is, "you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Well, what's kind of interesting is, as we take a look at this, wow, that's a long verse, and I can hardly get it in on the screen. Let me just edit that for just a quick moment here. Maybe, let's see, we'll go down on the Greek a little bit. Bring that down a little bit to size. Acts 5:28. Okay, so there we go. We got it. I think we got it all. Not quite. Okay. All right. Good enough. Okay, so he says, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching this name, but you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Now, "you have filled Jerusalem" is the present or the perfect tense that we're talking about. How do you English that? Well, the translators, when they English the perfect tense, it comes out most like a past tense. But the thrust of it means not only have you begun to fill Jerusalem, but Jerusalem continues to be filled with your teaching. And the question is, well, how can it be filled with their teaching when those guys were in jail? Well, they talked and led someone to Christ, and then they talked and led someone to Christ, and they talked and led someone to Christ till Jerusalem was filled with this teaching. So it's a perfect illustration of the perfect tense, that it happens at a point in time, but then has present results. Results that are ongoing and can even come into the present. It's one of the really, you know, awesome tenses in Greek. Okay, now let's go back to the notes a second here. All right, hold on. Don't read letter C. I'm going to use letter C as my application to close with. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 24.
Is this a trick?
No, not a trick, but I want to show you something really cool at the end. Here's John chapter 5, verse 24, very familiar verse. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And you see that word "passed"? That is the word that's in the perfect. So even though it's translated as a past tense, this is what it means. That because you've believed on Christ, you have passed out of death at a point in time, and you continue to be out of death. when he saves you, he saves you for good. This is a just this tense alone argues for eternal security. You know, the fact that you have eternal life, remember we said that was the present. That means it's ongoing. You know, he could have said, well, you know, you kind of have it.
Well, you have it now, but you lose it.
You lose it. Well, yeah. He says not only was there a point in time that you came out of death, that was the moment that you exercised your faith in Christ, but that has ongoing results that you remain out of death into life. And so...
Just reading that text without knowing the Greek tense, you couldn't know that was an ongoing...
You couldn't. My one professor would always tell us, so why don't they, or they would always ask him, so why don't they make an English version that has the Greek in? Well, one is the Amplified Bible is the closest to that. But he would say, well, nobody would buy it. It would be boring. It would be boring and too laborious to read through. And he said, fellows, the bottom line is money. They wouldn't produce it. It would cost too much money. Nobody would buy it. And there you have it. So let's just do the better thing. Let's just become Greek students and know it and make sure that we teach it from the pulpit. So there we have a tremendous theological point just from the perfect alone. All right, now I want to go to the other tense for a moment, because this is very much like the perfect. It's called the pluperfect. The pluperfect. You must be you're my pluperfect Valentine. That's kind of like pea picking, okay? You're my pea picking Valentine. Okay, no, seriously. Okay, so here's what it is. Imagine a camera that took a snapshot, continues to show the pictures, but at some point stopped. See, the other one's continuing on. This one has had the same result, but it's letting you know that in the past it did stop. Okay? Let me just quickly go here to this chart, which we will have on the internet, and you can see that the perfect tense is described with a point in time, and then you see that linear line there, in brackets, and that indicates the results of the action. So with the perfect, it happens at a past point in time, but with results of action that move into the present. The pluperfect has a point in time with results of action that ends in the past, doesn't quite come up to the present.
When you put the brackets on the perfect tense, because it's in the present, that means because the present is wherever we are. Like, that won't extend into the future, but it stays with us in the present wherever we are.
Was and is.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. Now, I wasn't going to say this, and I don't want to discuss this, but there is one other tense, and it's called...
You're holding that on.
It's called the future perfect.
Okay.
But I will tell you that there's only one verse, Hebrews 8:11, where that is contained. It's so rare. In fact, they've learned to do it. They've learned how to do the future perfect other ways in the Greek. Okay. Now that would be the same thing as taking this pluperfect tense from the past, where we have it in the past column, and moving it over to the future. That's what that would mean. But it's so rare that, and it has something to do with. If I win this race, I will be named as the ultimate winner. That's kind of the future perfect. So, okay, enough on that. All right. So, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. So anyway, if you just look at the perfect tense and the pluperfect tense, It happens at a point in time, and then there's a result of action. The perfect is the perfect because it will come into the present, but the pluperfect will end. Now let's look at a couple of illustrations here.
Do you mean that the pluperfect will end, or the pluperfect has ended?
The pluperfect has ended. So now, again, so you're going to look in the English Bible, and of course it's going to be a past tense, isn't it? But there is no way to know that it had results and then stopped. I mean, how do you, you know, what ending do you use for that? But we'll show you. Okay, it describes completed action with further completed results. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. Now again, I'm giving you these not so that when you're done with the introduction to Greek, you're going to be able to translate the next best version, but as you read commentaries now that have Greek in, and I encourage you to do so, they will make the theological points. This is in the perfect tense. And you'll get your little cheat sheet out and you go, yeah, I remember that. Absolutely. And then if you want to do further study, you go into your Greek interlinear, you look that word up, you look it up in the lexicon, and you say, you know what? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've seen that word with my own eyes. I know that that's absolutely true. Okay, so Revelation 7:11. Okay. It says, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped. Okay, so that phrase, we're standing, that's a pluperfect. Now, it says that there was a point in time that they were standing there. And then it gives you the idea that they continued to stand there. And it had present results. But it ended. Well, what's so important about it ending? Can anyone tell me from this verse?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Okay. They were... okay. Hi, this is Greek class number 7. Oh, you meant just that. Okay. This is the pluperfect. They at a point in time, they were standing around the throne. And then the author wants you to know that it continued after that, but then at some point it stopped. Now, what can you determine?
Well, they stopped because they fell on their faces.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So something changed. Okay. They fell on their faces. So up until the time they fell on their faces, they were standing and continued to stand. And the author wants you to know that, hey, we weren't just standing around the throne. This is what they were doing. This is what was important. They were not only at the throne, but they continued at the throne. And the only time that caused them to not stand at the throne was when they fell on their faces. That's kind of the idea of the pluperfect.
So will that always be the case? Is that pluperfect tense will end and then another verb sets in?
It will in the sense of context.
Okay.
In other words, you're going to figure out why it stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
it'll
you're,
be obvious.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right, I think I have another one. Okay, here we go. Now, one thing of good news here is that there's only 22 verbs in the New Testament that appear in the pluperfect. So you're not going to see them very, very much, okay? But you're going to see them more than the future perfect, okay? And there are other things in Greek like that that are just, I mean, you know, just very, very rare. But I do want to point out another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Okay, this is when Jesus was left at the temple by his parents. And his parents came back, and of course we all know that it says when they, in verse 48, when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And the idea here is, did you not know at a point in time and realize that I was the Savior? And didn't that understanding keep going even till when we came to the temple? Of course, it ended though, didn't it? Why? Because they found him in the temple, yes. So, but it's enough to, that the author wants you to know that it was more than just an aorist point in time, it was continuing. And, you know, there's some, certainly some thought behind it. Not only did you know at a point in time, I mean, when he was born, the angel told her that his name would be Jesus, you know, God with us, Emmanuel. He will save his people from their sins. And, you know, Mary, did you know? Remember we did that devotional? She did know who he was. And Jesus is saying, and shouldn't that understanding, you know, guided you where I was? So, and also too, you know, Jesus did not sin. He wasn't the rebellious kid that refused to get on the bus when it left. You know, this was something that he was already there, and they should have known who he was and why he was there. And when they left, they should have come and got him. But they just assumed that Jesus was with them, because he was the perfect child and didn't ever have to be scolded or told twice. But this was one instance where this is where he would be. And by the way, this is Jesus' first public announcement that he's the Messiah. Did you not know that I had to be at my Father's house?
Now, he was brought to Simeon as a child, right?
Yes, yes.
Were they associated with the temple at any other time? I suppose it came for Passover and stuff, or was this
yes,
the first time?
The males have three times a year.
Well, that's what, yeah. But this was the first time at that age that he stood up and said he was who he was.
Right, and of course, I'm not really sure how far the bar mitzvah went back into that time, but to the Jewish mind, at the age 12, which is what he was,
right,
this is when they become bar mitzvah, a son of the law. Which means now he is not only required to know the law, but he is accountable for how he acts under the law. And so, you know, at that age, this is where he needed to be. I mean, the perfect child would be there, you know, talking, asking questions, and even answering questions, you know, as it says. So, notice the discussion we have just had. Unbelievable what the Greek does to you. And please pray for my poor wife, because when she talks, we have to discuss in Greek. Now, when you said that you bought, did you mean you bought it at a point in time, the bread, and then the results was that it was continued and it was brought home in the present? No, I don't do that anymore. Okay, I don't do that. But, you know, we will, you know, you begin to start thinking in those terms of, is this a continuous action? Is this, you know, present results?
I'm getting more and more Darlene. I mean,
she's
just wonderful.
She is. She is. She does. Okay, where did our time go? Okay, well, I think I'm going to call it, even though there's some vocabulary there. If you want to, if it's up to you, if, you know, you don't have to do it. Yeah. No. but notice, I'll just go through the vocabulary quickly. Houtos, that was in, these are all from John 1:1, and that's a pronoun that means either this one, he or she or it. And of course, in the context of John 1:1, it means he. Panta means all things or everything, okay? Talking about when he created. He didn't create some things. He created all things. There is a specific Greek word for that. And then egeneta comes from ginomai, which means to become, but it's the aorist, so it means became or came into being. So it says all things came into being. So just look at that. I won't have that on the quiz for next week, okay? But, okay, here's the one. I will close with this then. I saved the best for last. Turn in your Bibles to John 19, verse 30. Here is perhaps one of the most precious usages of the perfect tense. There were seven sayings that Jesus said on the cross, and believe me, he was not reacting. Okay, in those, each one of those have major theological, emphasis. And here it says in John 19:30, while Jesus was on the cross, it says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, which he refused before, it says, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This word, it is finished, is in the perfect tense in the Greek. And it literally means, it is finished at a point in time, and the results continue on even to the present. Yes, exactly. There's 5 points right there. it means this. There is no need for us to add anything to the salvation of Jesus Christ, because what he did on the cross finished the work for salvation on our behalf, and it can, the results continue on. So it's not like, okay, he did his part, and now we have to do our works and give money and do good deeds, and then that's going to tip the scales. No. The work on the cross is complete and done. Jesus did the work of salvation, and not only did he do it at a point in time, but its results continue on even to the present. Which means, I don't have to do rituals. I don't have to do rituals which assume that the juice turns into blood to somehow do something else that I need. Beloved, it is finished. It was finished at a point in time, and the results of that continue on into the present. Again, huge theological statement here from the perfect tense. So, amen. Amen. Another thing that I just want to point out too is, kind of can be very difficult, was for me, you have the cross, and you have the resurrection, and you have the ascension. But notice, he said the work of salvation was finished there on the cross. So then why the resurrection? The resurrection is proof that he paid for our sins on the cross. So that was the work. That's where it was done. And you say, so then what is salvation? Salvation is when Jesus Christ went on the cross as our substitute. He took our sins, he took our penalty, and he died on our behalf, and it was finished. Ours is only to believe. And then we have salvation. Not only do we have salvation, but we currently have eternal life. We won't come into condemnation. And at the moment we accept Christ, we are not condemned, and it has present results, not only into the present, but also into eternity. So, all right. So we'll just have we'll talk. What I will do is, please go over all the tenses and the descriptions, because that's what the quiz will be on. The quiz will be on the tenses. So I'll go back and maybe I'll make something about a comment about the present tense of the aorist. But I will definitely include the perfect and the pluperfect. No, I won't do the exam.
What's the Hebrew one that mentions future perfect?
Hebrews 8:11.